fifth song, we sing, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. And I think that song, I think, must have been very influential in forming my theology of worship as a kid. Because I think I came to view worship is something that you do in order to get something else. If I want God's blessing, then I engage in this act of worship called prayer. And I kind of punch the clock. And, you know, it's kind of at the end of the pay period, God gives me the paycheck. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. And, you know, I think we need to be careful about, you know, look at the theology in our kids' songs. That's a different sermon. But we can have that kind of transactional view of our relationship with God. I do this, this, and this, and God will give me this, this, and this in return. But actually, when you look at the Bible, that's the kind of worship, specifically of the pagan people surrounding Israel. They had gods of fertility, gods of agriculture, gods of weather, gods of war. And if you want fertility, victory in war, good weather, that you offer sacrifices and you get these things back. And the God of Israel had a different kind of relationship with his people. He had a covenant relationship of love with them. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Last week, we read this and we focused on the fact that worship is an offering, not an obligation. And this week, I want to talk about something related, but it's a little bit different. He says, in view of God's mercy, because of who God is, it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so this week I want us to think about that concept of being living sacrifices, and the fact that worship is sacrifice, not sufficiency. Worship is not a transaction that you can point to that says, listen, I'm a good Christian. I showed up at church. Just like our spouses, you know, it doesn't work to say, you know, I'm a good spouse. I showed up. I took out the garbage. I installed the ceiling fan. I squeezed your hand tight. I'm sufficient. I did what I'm supposed to do. It says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And, you know, just by the nature of sacrifice is it costs something. Sacrifice costs something. It doesn't mean that it's a burden. It doesn't mean that you resent it. It doesn't mean it costs something. It means you are giving something that you could choose to keep for yourself, but you choose to give it. That's the offering part. But the kind of worship that God is worthy of is sacrifice. Something that costs you something. It says it this way in Hebrews 13:15. You can write that down. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. A sacrifice of praise. Is my praise of God, my worship, a sacrifice? Am I engaged? Am I giving? Or am I just showing up? Is it about sacrifice or is it just about sufficiency? You know, we are certainly a church that engages regularly in doing good for others. Verse 16 there says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. That's a sacrifice. If you say, I've got this time that I could spend on myself, but I'm going to choose to spend it on somebody else, that's a sacrifice. It doesn't mean that you don't enjoy it. It doesn't mean that it's a burden to you or that you resent it, but it is a sacrifice. It's something that you could keep for yourself, but you're choosing to give it. You're engaged. And I think that the vast majority of us could be witnesses to the fact that it is very rewarding to sacrifice in that way. And it's not a burden. We don't resent it, but it does cost something. And that same language is used for our praise of God. It's a sacrifice of praise. Our thought, our energy, our heart that could be focused inward on ourselves, our energy that we could spend just serving ourselves is turned toward God and focused on God and given to God. It's a sacrifice of praise. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. There's a story here in 1 Chronicles that's one of the stories of King David's failures. He's the man after God's own heart, one of the heroes. He's somebody that, for some reason, would always catch my attention in Bible stories because my mom named me after him. But he's a very human figure, you know. It's not just all these squeaky clean stories of total success. This is a big mark on David's record biblically. And I'm not going to take time to read the whole thing, but Chronicles says that Satan incited David to count the fighting men in Israel. And for them, what this was a sign of trusting in the strength of men rather than the strength of God. It was viewed as an act of faithlessness. And because of that, the whole nation was, it brought Israel under a curse and brought them punishment. But David was given a choice. The message came from God, you have a choice, three choices. 3 years of famine, 3 months at the hands of your enemies, or 3 days at the hands of the Lord. David says, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. And then the punishment begins, but something happens. God doesn't go through. David says, okay, give us 3 days of punishment at the hands of the Lord. God starts, and then God stops. God doesn't complete the 3 days of punishment because it says God's heart was moved with compassion. And so he stopped. God looked at Jerusalem with compassion and said, listen, I know I said I was going to give you 3 days, but I can't go through with it because I love you too much. And but he wanted David to make a sacrifice, so David goes to offer a sacrifice. And he comes to a place that eventually would be the site of where the temple was built. But it was a place owned by a man named Araunah, the Jebusite, and it was a threshing floor. In 1 Chronicles 21, starting at verse 22, it says, David said to Araunah, let me have the site of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price. Araunah said to David, take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledge for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all this. But King David replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. You know, I think if anyone could have felt entitled to take something like that, it would have been the king. Because kings can pretty much take whatever they want. And not only could kings take whatever they wanted, but Araunah was offering very willingly all his possessions for the sacrifice. But David said, I refuse to offer to God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. Now, I wonder how God feels about my worship, my sacrifice of praise. Is it about I showed up, I'm sufficient, I'm a good Christian? I showed up, I do what good Christians are supposed to do. Or was I engaged? Was I giving of myself? Was I taking my time, my energy, my passion that I could just spend on myself, but choose to spend it on God? Is my spirit, when it comes to my sacrifice of praise, I won't offer to God a sacrifice of praise that costs me nothing. Is it about come in, make myself comfortable, or am I pouring myself out in worship? In the part of worship, the important part of worship, that is our financial offering. The basket comes by, and am I just dropping something in that's convenient? Or is my heart, my spirit, I won't offer to God a sacrifice that costs me nothing? But as we've been talking about, you know, worship is not just about all the acts of worship that go on here all through our week. Are our lives sacrifices of praise? As we go about doing good and serving others, is our heart, I won't offer to God that sacrifice that costs me nothing. Or is it going with the flow, doing what's convenient? It's easy to want to spend whatever we have, time, energy, money, effort, everything, just to spend it on ourselves. But we're the ones that lose. We're the ones that lose with that kind of life. And we can find ourselves in challenging circumstances Things happen. We get frustrated with our kids. And we want to respond selfishly. And we stop and go, no, I'm going to do good to them. You know, giving and service don't just start out in the community. It starts in the home. And the way that we engage with and serve our families is a sacrifice of praise. It's worship to God. It's offering our bodies as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You know, in the old sacrificial system, animals were offered. When they were offered as sacrifices, you know, their lives ended. And they had to be offered over and over again. But Hebrews said that Jesus came not only as the great high priest, but also as the sacrificial lamb. He offered himself so that no sacrifices need to be made. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice of death, but he was resurrected, and now we're called to be living sacrifices, sacrifices that don't end in death, but we sacrifice, we give ourselves over to God, and we live on. Something. But in view of God's mercy, it's not a burden. We don't resent it, but it's a sacrifice. Living sacrifices. Worship as a sacrifice. And not just proving our sufficiency. And Paul says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do this day by day, moment by moment. And then the worship services will take on a whole new life. As we've talked about, worship services are gatherings of people who worship all week, every day. But my prayer is this, these words from Paul here will be a reminder that just like in our marriages, it's not just about showing up. It's being engaged, being giving, being sacrificial in view of God's mercy. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. Amen.